Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel Radio, and today we're going to be looking at the little letter of 1 Peter, a letter written by the Apostle Peter to those who were scattered abroad. In chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure." So these letters of the Apostle Peter were to his brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We need to remember that much of the New Testament is written to the children of God, especially the letters, like the letters of the Apostle Paul, James, the letters of Jude, the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the letters of the Apostle Paul, the letters of Peter. These are all letters to the church. Now, an unsaved person reading these, this does not apply to him or her until and unless they become a child of God. You see, Peter says, "I'm writing to those who are aliens of this world." That means they're citizens of heaven. And I pray that you too are a citizen of heaven today. Well, let's go to God in prayer before we begin our lesson today from 1 Peter. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your great love that you have showered upon us as your children. Thank you, Father, for your many, many blessings. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for going to the cross and paying sin's debt for all of us. You paid for sin for all mankind for all time upon the cross. Thank you. Thank you that you did this in order that whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much, for your protection, for your provision. Father, today as we open your word, may your precious Holy Spirit lead us, guide us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you speak through me today your words of truth. May they be building to the body of Christ. May they be glorifying and exalting to the name of Jesus. And may they be a blessing to God our Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, thank you for joining us today for A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. Today we're going to be talking about the subject of suffering. Suffering. Now, Jesus made it very clear that if you follow me, you will suffer. He said, "Do you think that the master is going to suffer and you as disciples are not going to?" You know, there is a false gospel abroad in our land today, a false gospel of prosperity. There's a mistake made in the gospel of prosperity that was made by the Israelites, by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, by the religious rulers at the time of Jesus. You see, they were looking for a Messiah that would rule and reign. Instead, at that particular time, they received the suffering servant that Isaiah told about. This was Jesus' purpose in coming for the first time to the earth, to suffer and to serve. He was the suffering servant. He was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Now, because most of the Israelites were looking at the latter part instead of the first part of Isaiah's prophecy. They were looking for a king to sit on the throne of David. You see, they were impatient. They were looking for a king that would rule and reign rather than a king who would come first to offer himself to save mankind. Now, Jesus is coming to rule and reign, but that's not yet. That's his second coming. When he comes the second time, as described in Revelation chapter 19, he will come as the conquering king. He will come to rule and to reign upon this earth. He will establish his kingdom, and there will be none to stand against him. Not even the devil of hell will be able to stand against him. In fact, during the reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth, a thousand-year reign, the millennium, Satan and his demons will be put in prison, so to speak. They will be unable to do anything upon this earth. So Jesus will be supreme. Jesus will be the supreme ruler. He will sit on the throne of David. Literally, he will rule from Jerusalem, as David ruled from Jerusalem. So he is coming as the reigning king to sit on the throne of David. Now, the religious leaders at the time of Jesus were looking for that kind of Messiah, and they weren't looking for the Messiah who would come as the suffering servant to offer himself as a payment of sin for all of mankind. They were not looking for that. And because they were not looking for Jesus to come in that manner, they rejected him as the Messiah. He was indeed the Messiah, but they rejected him because he did not meet their expectations. Now, the same mistake is being made today by those who would proclaim the so-called prosperity gospel. Now, Paul speaks of all the blessings and all the riches and all the blessings that are laid up for those who love Jesus, those who are the children of God. But you know, the Bible points out very clearly that before we share in those blessings, before we share as a joint heir with Jesus Christ of all the blessings that the Father has, before we are perfected to be as Jesus is, God is about that business, you see, of perfecting each one of us as his children to make us exactly like Jesus. One day we will be perfect as Jesus is perfect. One day we will have immortal bodies, imperishable bodies. We'll be perfect in every way. We'll know completely as we are known today. But that's not yet. That's not yet. You see, while we are on this earth and while we're in this human body, we suffer as Christ suffers. Now, we have a special suffering as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ because we are aliens to this earth. We need to understand that. Jesus clearly said that if you follow me, you will be opposed by the world. You'll be opposed by the world leadership, which is in the control of the devil. You'll be opposed by the devil and the demons of hell. Your battle will never be against flesh and blood. It will always be against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. You are in a war when you become a child of God. You will be fighting battles. These battles will be almost continuous. It seems to me that God, in his mercy, gives us a respite now and then from the battle. There will be a relative period of calm, a relative period of peace, a breathing time for us, so to speak, a resting time for us. But you can be sure of this, the battle will come again. Satan will come at us again. His purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we need to understand that. We need to accept that. The spiritual world around us is the permanent world. This physical world around us is a temporal world. It's a temporary world. This physical body in which we now exist is a temporal body. It's a temporary body. It's not a body that we will have forever. We will lay it aside one day, just as we might take off a coat and lay it down for the last time and never put it on again. We will lay this physical body in which we are now found, in which we now live, we'll lay it down someday, all of us. It is appointed to each one of us to die, and after this the judgment, the Bible tells us. So we need to understand that. We don't need to whitewash it. Again, the problem with the prosperity gospel is that they are correct, but their timing is off. We will share as the sons of kings, as royal priesthood, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We will one day be as He is. We'll be joint heirs with Him to share in everything that the Father has. But that is not yet. That is future. That's heaven. And we're still on the earth. And while we're on the earth, we will be suffering servants. We will suffer as Jesus suffered. We will be rejected by the world as Jesus was rejected by the world, you see. We become aliens upon this earth when we become a child of God. This earth is under the control today of the devil. He is the prince of the power of the air. The devil and the demons of hell rule this world today, because Adam gave it over to the devil. So it is there now. Now, Jesus has defeated the devil. He defeated the devil at the cross, but the sentence hasn't been passed yet. It will be. It will be passed someday, but not yet. Satan is still out of jail, so to speak. Now, his final destination will be the pit, the burning pit, the lake of fire. He and his angels will be cast into that lake of fire, and they will be there forever. That will be their forever home, so to speak. But not yet. Sentence has not yet been passed upon the devil and the demons of hell. So he is free to roam. He is free, as we're told in God's Word, he is like a roaring lion roaming up and down in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came, he said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you." Now, Christ suffered for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, states that Christ also suffered for you, and because of that, because you are followers of Jesus Christ, because you are disciples of Jesus Christ, you will suffer as Christ suffered. In verse 20 and 21, it says, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, "For what credit is there when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps." Now, in verse 23, "And while being reviled," speaking of Jesus, "He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but He kept entrusting Himself to Him that is, to God the Father, who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed, or you were healed. Now, this makes it very clear that we have been called for this purpose in verse 21. What is that purpose? Well, we see it in verse 20. Suffer with him. Suffer patiently as a follower and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 20 says, this finds favor with God. Now, it's hard for us to accept that we're called to suffer. You don't hear that much in the prosperity gospel, do you? In the prosperity gospel, they stress we're king, sons of the king, and we should live like sons of the king. We're princes, yes, but we're not in our kingdom yet. We're not in heaven yet. We're not ruling and reigning yet. We're aliens in this world. The world is against us. The devil and the demons of hell are against us. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. The devil is looking to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, he likes to destroy our witness. He likes to destroy the witness of the church, the witness of the pastor, the witness of individual Christians, the witness of the family. He loves to destroy that. He loves to tear it down. He loves to tear marriages apart, especially Christian marriages. He loves to tear the church apart. That's his primary target today. Think of it in this way, dear friend. When we're born into this world, we're born into a condition of sin, into a state of sin. We have that because of Adam. It is a matter of our heredity. We inherit that state, we inherit that condition because Adam sinned, Eve sinned, our foreparents sinned, and we bear the brunt of that sin. Now, as Hebrews says, for in Adam all sinned, but in Christ all shall be made alive, all who trust in him, all who believe in him, all who receive him. So we are born into this world in a state or condition of sin. We're born into this world as followers of the devil, as followers of this world. We're born into a condition or a state that is against Christ. Now, when we're convicted of our sin, our sinful condition, by the Holy Spirit, and when we say yes to the Holy Spirit, and when we confess our sin and ask Jesus to come into our heart and our lives, the Bible says that we become sons of God, daughters of God. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. God transfers us from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of his dear Son. He transfers us from this kingdom of darkness in which we are born into the kingdom of light. And Jesus is light. He's the light of the world. So our citizenship is changed. That's the reason Peter speaks of aliens here. I'm writing to you who are aliens in this world. Now, aliens are not accepted by the world. Children of God are not accepted by the world, are never accepted by the world, will always be persecuted by the world, which again is under the control and the dominion of the devil today. He is the prince of the power of the air. The world system is of the devil today. We need to understand that. Our battle as children of God is always against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. It's against the devil and the demons of hell. That is a continuing battle. That is a battle that never ceases. We never battle against flesh and blood. We're always battling against principalities, powers, wickedness in high places. That's our condition. as we live as disciples of Christ. You say, well, that doesn't sound too good. Well, as Peter says, suffer with him now that you may share in his glory later. Suffer with him now that you may rule and reign with him later. You see, the prosperity gospel people have it right in this respect. We are to rule and reign with Christ. We are indeed sons of God. We're sons of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we're not home yet. Our home is heaven. That's where we'll rule and reign. That's where we'll share in the inheritance. That's where we'll share all the blessings that are laid up for us. Here, we're aliens. We're strangers. We're not the devil's property any longer. And the devil is mighty, mighty angry toward every child of God, because the devil realizes that once he had us, but once we become the child of God, once we trust in Jesus, he loses us. We become the children of God. We're no longer the sons of the devil and the daughters of the devil. He has lost us. Now we are his enemy. Now let me tell you something. Unsaved people are part of the family of the devil. Unsaved people are not the target of the devil. They're in his camp, you see. So we can watch unsaved people not be persecuted as we Christians are persecuted. And we tend to say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. Why is this happening to me? It happened to Jesus. The world rejected him. The world will reject you and me as children of God. That's a certainty. That's not just a possibility. It's an absolute certainty. Christ suffered. We will suffer as his followers, as his disciples. So think it not strange that this is happening to you, Peter writes. Don't think it strange that this is happening to you, for it is happening to your brothers and sisters everywhere in the world. In chapter 4, 1 Peter, verse 12, Beloved, he writes, and remember he's writing to the aliens that are scattered abroad. He's writing to his brothers and sisters. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, Brethren, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for Christ, for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Now, Peter is writing, don't think it strange that you're suffering. This is our lot as children of God, as followers of Jesus Christ. Christ suffered, the world opposed him, the world rejected him. It will do the same to us. Don't be surprised at it. It's to be expected, rather, you see. So, in the prosperity gospel, those who preach it say, oh, we should be experiencing all the riches now. We deserve it. We're children of the King. Just pray for it and ask for it, and God will give it to you. A new car, a new house. Many of these who preach the prosperity gospel fly around in planes, and some not more than not just one, but more than one. Now, they're preaching a gospel that is for the future, not for now. Those who are followers, true followers, let me point that out, true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him. And let me point out to you, that's few, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He said, the way that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few there be that find it. The way that leads to destruction is broad, and many go in thereat. And then he also says there in Matthew chapter 7 that many will say to me in that day of judgment, in that future day of judgment, many will stand before me and try to argue with me. Many will stand before me and say, have we not done great works in thy name, Jesus? Did we not cast out demons in thy name, Jesus? Did we not perform mighty miracles in thy name, Jesus? And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. In other words, many will be doing things and perhaps even thinking that they are believers, that they are servants of God, that they are followers of Jesus, when they're not. They're not. They're doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it to try to gain their own salvation. They're doing it as works. They're doing it thinking that their much performance will get them into heaven, and it will not. So Jesus speaks of the two groups that are on their way to destruction. One, the ones who are simply following the broad way of destruction. In other words, not accepting Jesus as Savior. And then those who think that they're serving Jesus, who think that they're performing mighty deeds, and they are. Jesus doesn't say they didn't, but he says they're workers of iniquity. So even in performing these mighty miracles, in performing these great works, in casting out demons, they were in sin and are in sin who do that thinking that they're going to gain their salvation by what they do, by their works. You see, salvation is by the grace of God. It is of God. It is the work of God in and through Jesus Christ. It is not our work. Not one thing in salvation is our work. It is God's work. And we gain salvation by gaining Christ, by believing in Him, by accepting Him, for salvation is in Jesus Christ. And let me point out, it's not from Jesus Christ. We don't get it from Him. It is in Him. We find it in Him. And we gain salvation when we gain Christ. For salvation is in Him, not from Him, so to speak. Many people have the idea that they get salvation from Christ. No, salvation is found in Christ. He is the Savior. We find salvation in Him. So we believe in Him, we trust in Him, we receive Him into our heart and into our life. And then we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then we become sons and daughters of God. Now I want you to notice that in verse 13 of chapter 4, 1 Peter, we are told, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. We are to rejoice in our suffering. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? The prosperity gospel people would say we rejoice in our things. We rejoice in all the things God has given to us, all the material blessings that God has given to us. This says we're to rejoice in our suffering. And we're to look at suffering as something that's common to all of us as the children of God. It is something that we expect. It is not some strange thing that's happening to us that should not be happening. It is a common thing. It is a daily thing. It is something that is to be expected by all of us. Now in verse 12, we're told why. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, at the suffering you're going through, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Now Peter tells us why we're undergoing the suffering. Why don't we go through it? It's for our testing. It's for our testing. Why are we tested? God wants to prove us. God wants to grow us. God does not want to leave us as the little babe in Christ. He wants us to grow up into a mature person in Christ. And the testing that comes our way is for that purpose. Now, look at it. Look at it in this way now. Where does the suffering come from? The suffering is caused by the devil and the demons of hell. The suffering comes from this world system because this world system is of the devil. The suffering comes to all of us who are the children of God because we're strangers and aliens in this world. The suffering comes to us who are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because we are opposed by the devil and the demons of hell. We were once his property. We are no longer his property. He's lost us, and he's angry, and he wants to be against us, and he wants to oppress us. So the purpose of the testing, or the purpose of the suffering, is for our testing. We are going to suffer because we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is common to us, and we're told to rejoice in our suffering. Now, the devil wants to trip us up. The devil comes at us to steal, to kill, to destroy. The devil comes at us as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil comes after us to kill and destroy. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our witness. He wants to destroy us as a person. He wants to destroy our church, our family. But God permits this for his own purpose, and that purpose is testing. The devil wants to destroy. God wants to test us. Now, he's promised to give us the grace to go through anything that comes our way. Remember that anything that comes from the devil, from the world system, God is permitting to come our way. God is permitting it to come our way for our testing because he wants to grow us. He wants to mature us. See, he's about the purpose of conforming us to the very image of Jesus Christ. So the suffering, from God's point of view, is for us to grow up in Christ Jesus. So we are to count it all joy. We're to rejoice when suffering comes our way. That's something we have to learn to do. You see, we'll never do that if we follow our feelings. We'll complain and we'll gripe and we'll grumble because we don't enjoy the suffering. But we are to rejoice, and we can when we realize what's happening. God is growing us by having us undergo this testing. And that, my friend, is a good word for today. For God wants to grow us and to finally make us just like Jesus. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.